Today I'll be going through this one parable, a parable that many of you may have heard, maybe you know well. It's the parable of the sower, or the sower and the seeds. And we find this parable in chapter 13 of Matthew. Now chapter 13 is a chapter that contains quite a few parables. There's a number of scholars that would call this the parabolic discourse. It's just a long name, just emphasizing that chapter 13 of Matthew really contains a good collection of parables. And so when I return to my parable sermon series, we'll be in chapter 13 for quite a while. There's 8 of them that I'll be looking at here in chapter 13. But let's look at our scripture for today. It'll be starting with verse 1 of chapter 13. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles, or I'll also have it up on the screen as well. But Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. This is the setting in which Jesus begins that first parable, the sower and the seed. And the end of chapter 12, we saw Jesus was teaching in a home. He was teaching his disciples, teaching others around, but it was a fairly closed space. And so Jesus, after he's done teaching there, he goes out and goes by the side of the lake. And though Jesus was finished teaching at that moment, the people were hungry to hear more. The people wanted to hear and see more from Jesus, so they sought him out. After leaving the house, like I said, Jesus went by the lake, and then this group of people began to gather around Jesus. And so Jesus got into a boat so that those that came to hear more from him could hear him better. And so let's read on in verse 3 through 9. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus begins by telling of the farmer who goes out to plant seeds. First of all, you might you need to remember that the way seeds were planted back at that time were very much different from today. And I even brought a picture here. Today, farmers have tractors that pull planters. Now, most farmers probably don't have this type of setup. I don't know that there would be fields big enough in the area to have such large equipment. But you get the idea. You have a farmer is using a tractor that is pulling a planter. And all this equipment is designed to put the seed in the right place at the right depth. Each seed is mechanically and deliberately set in its place. Now, I actually had to call Cal because I'm not a farmer, so he had to explain a few things to me. There's science behind it. There's technology behind it. And some tractors even have GPS in them to make sure that everything is put exactly where it should be. Very specific and deliberate place. When we think of farmers planting, this is often what comes to mind, especially today. But long ago, this was not the case. There weren't tractors. There weren't mechanical planters. It was just people with bags of seed throwing it about with their hands on a field that they worked up by hand themselves. Now, I've planted grass seed and I've taken grass seed and thrown it around in different places before. So there are some gadgets that kind of spray seed out, just kind of spraying it out. So there's some things that we can kind of picture. But in the time of Jesus, everything was by hand. Notice the soil is clumpy and maybe even a little rocky. Notice the trees and shrubs around the field. There would also have been packed walking paths around this as well. This is the picture that we should gain when we read about this parable of the sower and the seed. Throwing by hand will get seeds out in the field. But some of that seed will inevitably fall in places that it will not be great for growing a crop. The farmer would have wanted all of his seeds to grow up into a great crop, but in order to cover the field, he knows that some seeds will not end up producing. That would not have been his desire, but all he can do by sowing seeds is just throwing it out to cover the field. Jesus in this parable points out four locations that a seed may fall at the end and the end result. The first location, verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. I'm just kind of explaining some of these locations and we'll look in a little deeper. But the path is a hardened ground that will not accept any seed. Foot and cart traffic and long time use keeps the path so compacted that nothing penetrates the top. Because the seed is just laying on the path, Jesus says the birds will come and just take it away. The second location that the seed would fall in verse 5 and 6. Oops. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. This part has a little bit of soil, which allows the seed to grow for a time. But the roots are unable to penetrate because of the rocks below. The roots are unable to grow deep and get nutrients and water. And when the weather gets harsh, it quickly withers and dies. The third location, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. See, this place has soil for the seed to grow, but there are other plants in there that are making it difficult to produce anything. The thorns and other weeds take away the nutrients and space, and they hinder the plants from growing. And then the fourth and final location, verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the soil that allows the seed to grow and to flourish. As it grows, it then produces 100, a good return on the crop. This is where the farmer wanted his seeds to go. And then Jesus ends his parable with, "He who has ears, let him hear." Okay, we now know that farmers in the time of Jesus threw seed to plant. And it could land in one of four places. Imagine hearing Jesus speak. Now, you know that Jesus, he taught a lot of things. He taught deeply about God. He talked deeply about love and mercy. And imagine if you were there at that time and you're hungering to hear more. And Jesus says this parable. You're thinking, okay, is that it? Is Jesus simply trying to tell us about farming? But he ends this parable with, "He who has ears, let him hear." So we're getting an idea that, okay, there's something really important here that we need to hear and understand. But it's hard to understand. And you wouldn't have been alone. See, Jesus' disciples, they were kind of scratching their heads as well. They didn't understand, and they first asked Jesus, "Why are you teaching in this way? Why do you teach like this?" And Jesus, he responds to them on why he's teaching this way. And I kind of covered some of that in my introduction to this series. But one of the things that Jesus points out is that the parable was intended for those who were hungry to receive what he has for them. It was intended for those who were hungry to know more, to hear more, to understand more. But a parable was also intended to conceal some of the truths from those who are just simply not interested or not hungry to hear more. You see, this was not just an informational message for farmers so that they would know how and where seeds grow. There's a spiritual meaning involved for those who want more from Christ. I think about those of you that ventured out into the snow, coming here, did you come here hungry to learn something more about Christ? Did you come here to learn something new or to just spend time in the presence of the Lord? If I told you I would explain this parable next week and end the service now, would you really want to know more? So that's what the parable's intended to do, to get you thinking, okay, I know this is not just about seeds growing. There's something more. And so the disciples are asking Jesus, we want to know more. And Jesus goes on a little bit later in verses 18 through 23, and he explains what the meaning of that parable is. So if you want to skip ahead in your Bibles to verse 18, I'll read that now. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." As we come to look at what this means, we see a few observations in this parable. The seed represents something. The seed represents the message of the kingdom. The seed is good and perfect. The seed is the message from the Lord. Therefore, if the seed is good, then where it falls is the focus of the parable. An observation is that where the seed is, where the seeds are sown is in the heart. So the condition of the heart is what this parable is really pointing out. And the condition of the first heart is similar to a seed sown along the path. A path has been so compacted by foot traffic, by animal traffic, by carts, and for a long period of time, that path is hard. and the hearer of the message of the kingdom with a heart like a path is referring to a person with a hard heart. Their hearts are so hardened that no seed, no truth from the Lord takes root. The seed bounces around a little bit, and Jesus says, the evil one, that's Satan, he swoops in and he makes sure that seed that was sown is taken away. The person with a hard heart is someone most vulnerable to the evil one. This person may hear truth of Jesus Christ, but it has little effect as they cannot comprehend the truth. How many of the religious Pharisees heard the gospel? They heard the good news of the kingdom, but they responded with anger. How many times did they hear and see Jesus perform miracles, and they respond with hatred? How many times did Jesus speak the truth, yet the Pharisees contemplated killing Jesus? That's an example of a hard heart. Many of us have encountered someone that the mere mention of Jesus' name evokes a negative response. A hard heart. Does a hard heart remain hardened forever? It can, but God can also work to soften hearts as well. But let's look at our next heart condition in verses 20 through 21. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. We would call this or see this as a shallow heart. This is a person who hears the gospel and takes it in quickly, but then falls away. I remember a person growing up that accepted Christ and his life quickly changed. And something I remember about him was that he quickly changed, but he went to a tremendous extreme. And I remember thinking, wow, if only I would be like him. Yet as quickly as he turned his life over to Christ, he went the opposite direction just as quickly, a short time later. I never really understood what happened, but in one breath he was on fire for God, and the next he was living as if God never existed. Maybe you've known someone like that. Maybe you can imagine something like that. And looking back at the foundation parable that I spoke on a little bit ago, this person likely built their foundation not on having a relationship with Christ, but their foundation was built on something else, on a person or a teaching that quickly fell apart. And we're told that in this world that we will have trouble, but we're to take heart because Christ has overcome the world. Yet it is in the midst of trouble that often these shallow hearts fall away. As long as things are going the way they want and there are no difficulties, they are here. But when difficulties rise, they leave. This is a shallow heart. Let's look at the third one in verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. I know that many of you have probably heard this parable before, and so have I. But this parable, as I was studying for this message, you know, I like to study, and so I enjoy when I learn new things while preparing for messages, even on verses that I thought I knew fairly well. I used to think that the seed that fell among the thorns fell away and rejected Christ, and that may certainly be the case, but it doesn't say that. The heart condition here is a thornful heart. This is a person who hears the gospel message, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and material things choke it. It might die, it might fall away, but it doesn't have to. What does the scripture say? Because of the thorns in the heart, this person is unfruitful. I would say this is as good as dead, though. What this is saying is that this person received the gospel message, but their hearts were so conflicted that nothing changed. We know that when we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms us and changes us, and we talk about being born again, there's something that happens. But with this person, there is no change. A person receiving the message of Christ sees no change and bears no fruit. Why? Because they still held within their heart many thorns. Well, what are the thorns? I've got a list. How about unforgiveness? That's a pretty tough thorn. What about hatred, bitterness, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties? Most of those thorns are found in Galatians 5:19 through 21. A thornful heart doesn't leave room to grow any spiritual fruit. So let's look at the good soil. Let's look at the heart that we will call the receptive heart. It's an open heart. Verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I would say that the person who hears and understands and allows the word to impact their lives is the one who produces great fruit. This heart is the only good soil. This is the only good soil that Jesus refers to. Jesus' message is allowed to take deep root in the believer. And from that, a tremendous crop is yielded. And I know from past study in this parable, and maybe many of you here believe that this great crop is talking about a disciple who shares the message with others and they multiply with more believers. I would say that is very much a part of it. Making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, that is bearing a great crop. But I don't think that is all and everything. That crop is talking about a transformed life that produces not only more disciples, but also spiritual fruit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in their lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The crop we see that produces 100, 60, or 30 times is the culmination of a believer's life and ministry in Christ. There's a lot involved. I think of many of the farmers here that have different crops. You know, you can grow corn, What crop do you yield? Well, you might just be combining the corn kernels. You might just be, what is it called, snaplage, where you take just the head of the corn. So you got the corn cob and the corn smashed up. Then you have silage, which takes everything. So we're looking at, there's more than just one specific thing, that we're looking at the crop of a believer. It's a culmination of everything in a believer's life and ministry that reflects and glorifies Christ. This parable gives us an understanding of how people receive and respond to Christ. We know that some seeds will fall on hard-heartedness. Others will have shallow hearts. Those are the ones that accept it quickly but fall away quickly. Still others live with conflicted hearts. They never really grow because of the thorns that they've kept. There's no real transformation taking place. But then the fourth one is the open and receptive heart. And if any of you have seen those first three, that you've seen some of those, it's hard to watch sometimes. Especially when you see them accept Christ, but you don't see a change, or you see them turn away. It's hard and maybe very depressing. I've talked about sowing the seed, and I think there's also a time where we need to be very specific and strategic, kind of like today's planters. You know, they're at the right depth, at the right place, very specific. I think we do need to be intentional when we are trying to disciple. I think those are the relationships that we build, and we share with them God's word when we know how much they can take. But we also need to live our lives in such a way that people all around will see that the gospel is in us, that Christ is in us. I think that this parable is also another way for us to also examine our own hearts. Are there areas of our hearts that have been hardened? Are there some things that we may hear of Christ and reject them? Are there areas of our hearts that are shallow? We take in and understand something that Christ has asked of us, but when times get tough, we let that die. Are there areas in our hearts that still have thorns? Does anyone here have thistles in their yards or in their fields? You know, we've chopped thistles, we've sprayed thistles. One thing about thistles, they like to come back. I think when we talk about a heart that has thorns in it, I think we always need to be on the lookout for some of those things that may be growing in us that we don't fully recognize or realize unless we're looking for them. Are we being diligent in examining our hearts for any thorns that may be growing up? Are we quick to remove them, or do we let them grow a while thinking we'll get rid of them later? It's kind of how bitterness grows. Are we receptive of what God has for us in spite of how difficult it may be? And so I just leave it at this. I pray that we all look for the hard areas, the hard-heartedness, and allow God to soften them. Let us pick the rocks in other parts of our heart that's not allowing some things to grow. Let us keep the weeds out. And let our hearts be ready for every word that the Lord gives us. You see, God's word needs good soil. Let our hearts be that good receptive soil.